I'd like to greet and welcome each one. Wish the mercy and grace of God on each one that's here today. It's good to be here and appreciate your presence. It's been good to be here. I appreciate the devotional this morning and our Sunday school discussion. I thought I would maybe just add, Albert mentioned something for those who have a sensitive conscience, and you know, I do believe that it is possible for someone to reach a place where there is such a level of depravity that they turn openly against God. But I truly believe that if someone has a fear that has happened, that they are not at that place, that there is a conscience there. And so I just wanted to leave that with you. If there is someone that has that fear that has happened, I think that's an indicator that it has not happened. But I do believe we should take seriously the fear of God and have a proper and a true fear of respect for God. For the message today, a bit of a topical message. It is the beginning of the year, and sometimes we have things that we feel kind of would fit that. So this was one I've been thinking about some, and I thought it would be good for us, especially in thinking about reflecting back to the past year and looking forward to this next year. I've entitled the message, Influencers, for Good or Evil. And I'd like to speak this morning especially about the influence that is facing us and that we encounter, and probably especially within the current climate that we live in, the current time of history that we find ourselves in, especially with the media that is so prevalent and is everywhere and has ways of reaching in, and there's so much content and so much information that's coming into our minds, into our lives, into our being. And I think it's really important for us to take a look at the things that we're consuming and to analyze whether they align with the Word of God. And so that's the heart for the message today. I'm just calling us to take a look and see what we're taking in, and the influences that are in our lives. Are they for the good or are they for the bad? You know, we live in a time where this word influencers is actually, and I'm looking at this actually as a noun. We have people with online presence who are actually called influencers, and they're called influencers for a reason. So we'll talk a little bit here, might just open it up a little bit here for some time to talk a little bit about what is influence and who is an influencer. I think one of the resounding elements of one who is influential is their ability to change the way a person thinks or lives. So if you'll take any historical list of the most influential people who lived on earth, you will generally have people who made an impact in the way people lived and the way people thought. And we've got to be honest about the influences. As we talk about modern day influencers, there's a lot of these online platforms where there's people who are saying things and portraying things that are shaping the consumer's view and the way they live their life. So we have to understand that what we consume and feed into our minds will affect us. So that's going to be the people that we surround ourselves with, the literature that we consume, the media that we absorb, and we could go on some more with some of these. But these things our indicators of who we are, what direction we are going, and also who we are becoming. So it puts a level of seriousness to it for us to consider the fact. And I think part of what's so important about it, sometimes these things have a way of changing us without us realizing them. And so I think sometimes we just need to step back and understand or take a look how we're being influenced. So I want to take a little bit of time here to talk about the history of influence. And I want to open it up a little bit just for a little bit of discussion, but who are some people that come to your mind as the most influential people? And we're going to think maybe especially in the last 2,000 years. I'd be curious who comes to your mind as some of the most influential people of the last 2,000 years. Okay, so that gives us a picture into maybe a modern person of influence. And it's very fascinating. You see, even any secular or most secular lists historically have Jesus as the most influential person. Now, there's, I think, in recent years, there's some people that have the audacity to put Muhammad ahead of that. But there's no question the influence that Jesus and the life of Jesus, how it changed lives and how it affected people, obviously ever since. Anyone else that comes to mind? Yeah, you would have evangelists who really their work and their life, the things they spoke influenced and changed a lot of people's lives. Charles Darwin, and there's a good example of someone who negatively impacted a lot of things. And that's part of I think a good thing for us to remember is that there's good influence and there's evil influence. And certainly we have the power. We have the power to both consume both, or the ability to consume both, but also I'm going to talk a little bit at the end about the ability to be a good influence and to be a positive influence on those around us. Another thing we could think about is historically, what are some of the, getting aside from people, what are some of the things that have been some of the most influential either means or happenings in the last 2,000 years? Anything that comes to your mind in that? Yes, I think that's a very good one. And any list of influential people will have Johannes Gutenberg on it. And I don't think we probably can't state enough of the influence that made in producing literature on a mass level, and then the influence that then had. In fact, the printing press was at the time was a very controversial thing because of the change that it brought. But obviously a lot of positive change, and I mean it was also used for negative things, but yeah, that's a very big one. Anything else? Yeah, And it disrupted a lot of things that were consistent for many years within the church. Martin Luther's name often gets connected with that, but there was many others, obviously, that were a part of the Reformation. So and even on a secular level, again, you will have the Renaissance and the Reformation as two of the very key changes, influential moments of history. So we often have leaders who are looked at as having been some of the most influential people of history. Church leaders, the church has held tremendous influence, whether for good or for bad. We have political leaders. Thinking of people like some of the conquerors and some of those who again, there would be had very negative influences. Many times, influence has been used for one's own benefit, and we see that currently today. That's happening today. People are influencing in a way to benefit from it themselves. And 2 Peter talks about that. We think we'll get to that at some point where Paul talks about, I might just turn to that quickly now, talks about those who influence in a way that they can receive something from it. Where he says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And it's one of the key elements of, I think, of false teachers, of people who have been influential in a negative way over the years. They have done these things to make merchandise of you and to use people. And so there's a long history of that, and it's something we need to be aware of as we look at this thing of influence. Moving on now, just a little further forward in history, I think one of the things that became a very influential thing more recently is the motion picture or cinema. And this would be the taking of what came with photography, and then as video developed, and movies and Hollywood and all of that. And it became a very influential medium to change people's thinking and change people the way people viewed life, and it made a huge change in Western civilization and culturally changed a lot of things, and I think part of what gave it such an ability was because now you had earlier literature was a powerful medium for change, but now you have something with pictures, and it brought it to life in a way that it had never before, and you now had a way that you could influence and change people's thinking, and we see how that started to happen, and as the masses in America started to attend the movie theaters, and it was fascinating to me to realize that even in the 1930s, during some of the Great Depression, they said it was estimated that I think 80 million people a year still went to the movies, and it became such an escape from a reality that even in the deep levels of poverty, people were still going there because of what it did for them, helping them kind of, or giving them the idea that they were escaping a reality. So there was an early doctor, I believe, who made these comments. He said, for the purpose of making and influencing public opinion and thought, the motion picture in the present stage, and this would have been early 1900s when this was written, is the most powerful influence now known, and as its use increases and its field of operation develop, its power to influence the public will increase. And one of the things that's interesting to me to look back is so now you have the Anabaptist response to something like that, and we, from what I can see, for the most part, the Anabaptists took a stand against attending the movies, and well, attending movies and accepting just the influence of Hollywood, and took a stand of not allowing it, and we can't have it be a part of us. And then that would have followed on with television, where they would have made the decision that we're not going to have television for that reason. And there was a Mennonite brethren that made this comment in 1960. This is kind of the Mennonite response to at the time. Movies present unrealistic extremes as if they were normal and thus model unrealistic behavior. They glorify crime, they undercut personal purity, and they cast war in a heroic light, which subverts Anabaptist teaching. Now we move forward to what I think is now a new chapter, and this is probably something that's come about largely in the last 20 years, where we have, it's almost 20 years now since the first smartphone or the first iPhone was released, and we start to have this new level of influence that's again supersedes what existed before. So now you have a means to create to distort spatial reality, or to essentially, you can eliminate the space that's between people that are far away, and you can have this way of connecting people that even though they are not physically together. So we're living in this new, we call it the social media age, this time where there's a lot of influence. And this is where we get this, you know, we now have this title of influencers, these people who are constantly speaking into the minds, the lives of people. They're talking, they're in their ears, they are spreading their views, their beliefs. And I was reading on someone... someone who is studying this and studying this effect that this has on especially those of religious backgrounds. And this is what they had to say about that. The individualism, autonomy, personal empowerment, and networking that characterize new media pose a challenge to the core values of religious communities. Traditionalism, cultural preservation, collective identity, hierarchy, patriarchy, authority, self-discipline, and censorship. Electronic media erodes the boundary between the private and public space. So now we've kind of found ourselves in this spot where we're like, okay, this is here, what do we do with it? And so now thinking about, you know, as Anabaptists, how we respond to this, you know, there is also this different side of this, or this other side of this, where in a lot of ways it feels like there's a lot of comparisons to what the response was to cinema or the response to movies. And sometimes I think it's easy for us to think, well, we should just do the same way and just do a complete ban. Maybe in a perfect world that would be a good solution. I'm not always sure. But I think that regardless of that, there is a reality that it's a bit of a different thing. While there's some similarities, there's some differences. We have to understand that social media has some very positive things about it. And there's also a differing thought that some people would have to counter what I had just said earlier about how this affects the values of religious communities. And this differing thought would say that media offers assistance in maintaining separation and preserving cultural cohesion, in the sense that, especially in the sense that we now have virtual shared spaces or online communities where we can bond together with people and help to maintain what we have. And one of the things that they've found in some of the studies is, I think even 10 years ago, there were starting to be some questions. So what's going to happen if you have people in religious communities that take on this technology? Like, will it open them up to the world around them? And a big part of what they've been finding is that they still tend to, even in those circles or in those spheres of media, they're grouping with the people that are most similar to them. So I feel like with this makes us understand that this is a bit of a different than some of the previous things we were working with. But there is also a lot of concern, and there's a lot of danger. And I think it's imperative for us that we have conversations about this, that we talk about this and we engage each other about the influence that we're receiving, especially from the digital platforms that are out there. We've taken a stand against some things in our church here, and I think those are very important. But these things are changing, these things are evolving, and we need to be active in engaging each other in what we are consuming, what we're taking in, and realize what is influencing us. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. I'm going to talk a little bit here about warnings about some of the things that we can encounter, some of the influence that we can encounter. I think I'll just read verses 1 through 5 here. Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 through 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. We could read the rest of this chapter too, but I think this gives us a picture into God's heart, especially for those who subvert the truth, and it even gives us a picture of the response of what God asked of his people in that time, to put that person out. And so I think it's laying out the importance of understanding God's view of those who change truth. And it's very important for us in this subject, because we're talking about influence and what is many times teaching or things that will run counter to the scripture and the word of God. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy, and read 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the entire chapter here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is a chapter that has so much truth. I think there's so much that is such a solid place for us to go in the face of the bombardment of deception and false teaching that is so prevalent in so many places. And I think it's very important that we have this as a foundation as we think about looking into the things that we are consuming, and that we use the Word of God, the teachings, the clear teachings, to decipher what we're listening to, what we're consuming. So I'd like to look at a few things here that I think are current issues for us as it relates especially to the influence of media. One of the things I believe that is really something we're going to need to be thinking about, and this is podcasts. Constant information being fed into people, listening to those who have very different views than we do. Entertainment along with influence. And again, we need to understand that most of these platforms exist for the benefit of the person that's creating them. Now, there's some exceptions to that. There's good, and that's part of what's can be hard in this. There's good podcasts and there's bad podcasts. I think we really need to take a look and consider what we're listening to, and I'm also aware that when we mention a subject like this, that there can be quite a bit of variety as far as consumption of these types of things. Some of these things are influenced by age. But I think it's good for us as a church to have these kinds of conversations, even though there's differences of experiences between the younger and the older. We need each other speaking into each other's lives on these kinds of things. And so sometimes I think older people need an awareness of some of the things that our younger people are consuming, and we need just an understanding. I think our older people should have a mind or a heart to understand what they're working with, and then that we can draw together to help each other. So we have podcasts. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to someone recently, and he was saying how, this is some generalizations, but he would say everyone that's, you know, in their 20s these days that are on the job site, they're walking around with AirPods in, they're listening to something. And it's usually not music. They're listening to someone talking, like someone is speaking into them. There's such a host of information that's available. And, you know, we have a lot of, this is going to kind of lead directly into my next thing. One of the things I think that has really made some inroads into our types of churches is political commentary. We have a lot of people listening to political commentators that I think we should probably take some serious thought as to what that's going to do to us. And the death of Charlie Kirk maybe brought some of that to light in some ways. I heard from people who, in the Mennonite community, I felt that his death very directly affected them. Like they felt like they knew him. And you feel, and that happens, you feel like you know that person because you've seen their face, you've seen them talk, you've heard them talk, you've heard their voice. And it's part of the reality of what we have in this digital era. So you feel like you know this person. One of the things we have to understand is, and I would have looked probably at Charlie Kirk as one of the, if you want to look at talk about political influencers, he was probably one of the ones who was as maybe close to, be careful how I say this, but he had a lot, it seemed he had a lot of good values and probably better values than many of the people. We really have to be careful and understand that if we're going to feed a lot of political commentary into our minds, it's going to change the way we think. And I don't know if it's sustainable for us to continue on with some of the Anabaptist values that we hold if we're going to feed ourselves that kind of information on a regular basis. Because we have to understand these are convincing people, they're persuasive speakers, and they're talented speakers. And yes, they're entertaining to listen to, but they will start to change the way we think. And so we've got to be aware of that. We have to have an awareness of that. I think we need to take a look at some of this, and we might have to align it with the Word of God and say, can I continue to feed myself with this? Or are there some of these types of things that we have to cut out? Talking about just some of that influence, so someone my wife knows has a few roommates that live with her, and they were people who regularly listened to Candace Owens. And so if you're a Candace, know who Candace Owens is. Again, this is a political commentator. And it was interesting to me that she said that they have, in the last year, changed the way she was talking about these people that regularly listen to her. They've changed the way they view Israel. And it's very interesting because Candace Owens is a person who has become anti-Israel. And it's her views have changed on this. It was fascinating to me in the sense to realize that you have these people whose views have changed just based on who they're listening to. And I think it bears very much an importance to us of the fact that these things will influence us and they will change the way we think. We have to be aware of that. And then there's this just plethora of information. This is kind of moving to the next point. Plethora of information and false teaching. Humanistic teachings, counseling methods. You know, so many of these things have, it feels like there's you can find all types of them. And so you have these agnostic points out here and these ways of viewing life, and then it seems like somewhere in the middle you're going to have these people who want to call themselves Christians, and they will put a nice, like they use elements of that and put like a nice bow on it and present it. And I think some of those things are so dangerous to us today. These types of things that have a way of, like, it looks good in a lot of ways, and yet if you look at it at its core and at its essence, it's completely contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ. I had a conversation recently with someone, and this was supposed to be a work-related conversation, but we talked for 2 hours about, as he shared with me, his views on, it was especially going down the lines of counseling and self, I'm not sure, was it self-nurture? But some of the things that continuously came out, and this was someone who grew up in our circles, who claims Christianity. Some of the things that came out repeatedly was, one of the things was, he asked me, he said, do you know what it means to find your true self? And he kept coming back to the true self. And then he also talked quite a bit about conflict and about pursuing conflict. And as I thought about some of these things, I guess they're warnings that I want to bring to you all today. We have to understand that these teachings of finding your true self are out there, and they're in different forms, and it's one of those things that I feel like gets a bow put on it sometimes. We have to understand that Jesus taught the complete contrary to finding your true self. Jesus taught that you lay down your life, you lose yourself. It's not about finding yourself. And these are teachings that we have churches who are teaching these kinds of things. We have to understand, there again, it's what I mentioned before, this is completely contrary to what Christ taught. And yet it's filtering its way in. It's made to look attractive. We have there's speakers that are speaking about these kinds of things, and preachers, and I see Mennonite people who are encouraging books written by some of these people, and I think we've got to have an awareness of the core basis of some of these kinds of teachings. One of the other the words you may have heard some is deconstruction. And I just want to say, if you hear deconstruction, I said run from it. This is the kinds of things that again are making inroads into so many churches, and we have to understand there again that the basis of what those things are, there's so much humanistic teaching, there's so much. And when we say humanistic, we're really stripping God out of the picture. It's figuring things out from man's perspective. Everything can be figured out and done by man without the help of God. And then somewhere in the middle, you have the churches who kind of want to take some of those views and kind of make it like bring God into it in partially. But these things run completely contrary to the character of Jesus, the character of God, and we must be aware of those things. And so I would just throw that out there. If you find yourself taking in information about deconstruction to understand its false teaching, we need to be convinced of these kinds of things and convinced of or understand where they will lead us. Just, I guess, to emphasize the point, the person that I met with and we talked for a while, he was trying to convince me on some things. It was interesting to me that he finds himself at a point now where he's basically alienated from his family, most of the relationships, a lot of the relationships around him. And it was just kind of almost a light bulb moment as we realize where some of these types of teachings will lead. The separation and the pain and the damage that results from following after the teachings that are contrary to the Word of God. Another thing that I think comes we need to be careful with, this is the conspiracy mindset. I think we should be known as those who uphold truth, not be those who question everything or spread untruth. And there's something about this mindset, this conspiracy mindset, that mindset that often includes distrust and disrespect for government. And I feel like this is kind of making its way, its inroads into church, in our Anabaptist churches some, with this idea of almost a distrust and a disrespect for authority in general. And I think that can often be tied together in some ways. And so I would just encourage you, if you find yourself going down some of these platforms where where there's a lot of conspiracy and a lot of question, and there's just a lot of uncertainty, to flee from those things, to don't let those things take an inroad in your life, because they will lead you to a very dangerous place. We also have things like the occult, Eastern mysticism and New Age teaching. You know, some of these things, it seemed like maybe for some years these things, at least as I think of being younger, where these things weren't really out there. But we have to understand, sometimes it's easier just to not talk about these things. But these things are more and more becoming open, and especially on the media platforms that are out there. And if you encounter things like horoscopes and all the different signs and things or whatever that are out there, these things are very present there. We have to understand that they're evil, they're from Satan, and we need to run from them. And so I just want to put that out there. Be aware of these kinds of things, the kingdom of darkness, and understand that these things are out there, and we have to be aware that they're not making inroads into our life. And then there's also just the thing of daily lifestyle choices. You know, the some of the media consumption can have a way of actually just changing the way I my day-to-day existence. And there's things that it seems there's no longer time for. And so we have to be very conscious of the way that that can change us. I want to share just a few practical points to help us gauge what is influencing us. And I guess the first one is just read the Word of God. This is for me too. I don't, you know, it's been a few years now that I realize, you know, I think probably one of the most important things we're going to need to hear in the next few years is just to continually be reminded and reminded and reminded of the importance of reading the Word of God. And I don't think we can get away from that. Some of the technology of our day, I think, kind of can almost militate against us spending time with God if we're not careful. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to understand the Word and be grounded in truth. And we need to be willing to uphold truth. Spend much time in prayer. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we talk about listening to the Spirit, and there can be some... We need to be careful on those things. We need to make sure we need to understand that the Spirit will always align, the true Holy Spirit will always align with the Word of God. I would encourage you, this is maybe especially to younger people, to seek out a mentor, someone older than you, that you know well and is well respected, and involve them in your life. Be transparent about the things that you're consuming, about the influences that are coming into you. You know, we have this accountability sheet that we pass out, and I think it's actually a great way for us to be transparent about some of the challenges that we face on this specific issue. Like, I think we should just write these things down. And maybe, I think we may tend to pass it out just to the men, we should probably to everybody, but this could be one way that we could actually practically work this out, where you just very honestly write some of the challenges of the last 6 months. And so I would encourage you to do that. Analyze the things that I'm consuming with the Word of God. Just be intentional about actually, maybe you do listen to something and you catch something and you say, that doesn't align with the Word of God, and take the time to compare the things that you're listening to. Embrace the simplicity of the gospel. You know, sometimes I feel like we're just, there's so much of this out there is just complicating things. You know, the gospel really isn't, anyone can understand the truth of the gospel. And sometimes things get so wordy and so complex. I think we just sometimes need to get back to the simple Word of God and the truth of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, and not complicate it with so many things. I think we need to actively cut away things that are questionable. And maybe, you know, this at the beginning of the year is a good time to take a look and say, am I consuming some things that are questionable? And if I am, then cut them out. Like, make some active changes and do something about it. Don't just talk about it. Practice a media fast. I think that would be good for any of us. And just to do times when you just completely cut yourself away from it. And then this is a little bit of a different direction, but I would encourage us to be active in your church. Engage in your community. Focus on serving others and denying yourself. There's something about some of these things, especially in the platform of media, that they're self-serving. And they make us feel good. And sometimes I think it's just important for us to get our minds off of ourselves. And if we can make it a habitual lifestyle of serving others and being involved with those around us, I think it helps balance out some of the tendencies that come along with some of the digital media that is in our lives. And I would just say that to beware of the person who constantly degrades others, and would not take advice from anyone. And I would say, especially on like a, you know, if the things that you're listening to, beware of those who constantly degrade others. I'd like to close just with a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, you must be aware of deception. Deception is such a scary thing to think about because people that are deceived don't know that they're deceived. And so we have to be aware of what's coming in so that we don't reach that place. And this scripture just says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We must know the shepherd. We must know the voice of the shepherd. It's so important. We must know the voice of the shepherd. And we must follow him. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm just going to turn to this yet and read a few verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to read verses 16 through 23. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. And he says, prove all things, or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just my prayer that in this new year, that we as the body of Christ could walk alongside each other as we navigate the influences that we encounter. And may God give us wisdom to discern right from wrong and a desire to individually be a positive influence to those that we meet. Let's kneel to pray.